Lord, you never failed us and you never will. Your will is coming to pass. Your promise still stands, and great is your faithfulness to every generation. Good evening and welcome to the World for Jesus Conference prayer call this Friday evening. Thank you all for joining with us tonight for this time of God-directed prayer and repentance to accomplish His will. This is Daryl Hughes. I'm your host for the prayer call tonight, and Chandra's on the board. Thank you, Chandra. Lord, we thank you that you are always faithful, Lord, always faithful to hear and answer when we pray. I'm going to share some good news of what God is doing in answer to our prayers. Headline, The Revival Generation, CBN film about spiritual awakening to debut at iconic Kennedy Center. A powerful new film from CBN is being released at the iconic Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. on August 27th. The premiere of The Revival Generation spotlights the incredible move of God happening right now in Gen Z. This one-night event will feature not only the premiere of the film, but also a time of worship as attendees gather to witness and celebrate the revival sweeping a generation. The movie captures amazing moments from the spiritual awakening among today's youth as they find hope, purpose, and identity in Jesus Christ amid a culture marked by anxiety and confusion. The film follows the nationwide campus revival movement marked by repentance and salvations, followed by mass baptisms held in lakes, fountains, and football stadiums. At the center of the film's narrative is Tanya Pruitt, a mother whose personal journey through her daughter's hidden pain becomes the spark for something much bigger. What began as a desperate cry for help turned into Unite Us, a student-led revival movement that was born on September 12, 2023, with thousands gathered in prayer at Auburn University. Since then, the ripple effect has reached campuses like Ohio State and beyond, bringing thousands into spontaneous moments of worship and baptism. The film offers inspiring testimonies, moving worship, and valuable insights from Christian leaders like Dr. Ben Carson and Jenny Allen. The Revival Generation reveals how students are finding healing and purpose through a relationship with Jesus. In the early 1900s, my mom's family was part of the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, which helped ignite the Jesus movement of the 1970s, said Kennedy Center President Ambassador Richard Grinnell. Today, we are on the cusp of another exciting revival in America, and this film premiere at our nation's cultural center highlights some of those beginnings. To see a movement that started on college campuses now reaching the National Culture Center of the U.S. is nothing short of miraculous, said Madison Pruitt Trout. God is moving powerfully in this generation, and the Kennedy Center hosting the Unite Us story is a clear sign that what began in student hearts is now echoing across the nation. I truly believe we're witnessing a movement of revival, and it's only just the beginning. For those who cannot attend the event, the film will also be available on DVD and streaming on CBN Family after the event. Headline, Faith Group wins Innovation Prize for America's 250th celebration. Ahead of America's 250th anniversary next year, the Herzog Foundation Institute has developed a project to reinvigorate patriotism and educate people on the nation's founding principles and values. The foundation, a nonprofit focused on the development of Christian K-12 education, won a $50,000 innovation prize from the Heritage Foundation in June for a project called the Freedom Tour. It's a three-week celebration that will include visits to the original 13 colonies and feature family entertainment, music, and rally-style battlefield birthday parties, according to a press release from Heritage. At the awards ceremony, Bridget Wagner, executive director of the Edwin J. Fulner Institute, explained the details and goals of the Freedom Tour. The tour will stream on social media platforms, showcase student art and writing on the founding, and feature teacher trainings on how to pass on our founding values, Wagner said. Participants will leave the tour with a heightened sense of gratitude, responsibility, and hope, ready to carry the torch of freedom, added Wagner. Herzog Foundation Institute Director Sadie Elliott, who received the award on behalf of the organization, said the tour will highlight the role of faith in America's founding and future. She hopes the Freedom Tour will revive a sense of American patriotism, to move faith and freedom forward. Headline: Right to Abortion Pill Reversal Upheld in Colorado Amid Drugs Nationwide Spread. A federal district court on Friday ordered that a Colorado medical clinic run by two Catholic nurses can continue its abortion pill reversal ministry, partially blocking a state law that had sought to ban the practice. U.S. District Judge Daniel Domenico said in his Friday ruling that Colorado's abortion pill reversal ban interfered with the religious rights of nurses Dede Chisholm and Abby Sinnott. The Catholic mother-daughter team runs the Denver area Bella Health and Wellness Clinic. Part of their services include administering the hormone progesterone that can counteract the effects of chemical abortions. Colorado in 2023 banned abortion pill reversal, alleging it constitutes a deceptive trade practice. That same year, the nurses sued the state over the ban, arguing that it impeded their religious beliefs and those of their clients. Domenico and October 2023 issued a temporary block on the state's ban. His ruling on Friday made the ban permanent. It is not disputed that by effectively prohibiting them from using a particular treatment for pregnant women, this law burdened the nurses' sincerely held religious beliefs, the judge wrote in part. And while the clinical efficacy of abortion pill reversal remains debatable, nobody has been injured by the treatment, and a number of women have successfully given birth after receiving it, he said. The state failed to show it had a compelling interest in regulating this practice, he ruled, in making the injunction permanent. Headline: Whistleblower Bill Barr held secret meetings to plot prosecutions of Trump and block his political comeback. Project Veritas on Thursday released part two of its whistleblower investigation into former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr. On Tuesday, Project Veritas released a bombshell story from a whistleblower alleging former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr, along with media figure Armstrong Williams, is running an illegal immigration visa fraud scheme for elites and billionaires. Patricia Lillis, whistleblower, former Brazilian journalist at Howard Stern Holdings, who is in hiding abroad, told Project Veritas that she was prosecuted after reporting Bill Barr and Armstrong Williams to the FBI. On Thursday, Project Veritas released video of Lillis explaining how Bill Barr plotted prosecutions of Trump to block his political comeback. Bill Barr was like, "We should bring RICO because it's a very difficult type of charge to defend," Lillis said. Texts and emails reveal Fulton County DA Fannie Willis and Bill Barr worked together on the RICO case targeting Trump and more than a dozen other defendants. Headline: U.S. Appeals Court blocks Trump contempt proceedings ordered by Boasberg. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled 2-1 Friday that U.S. District Judge James Boasberg cannot move forward with possible contempt proceedings against the Trump administration. The case involves the administration's alleged violation of an emergency court order blocking the administration from using a 1798 law to summarily deport hundreds of Venezuelan immigrants to El Salvador, the latest in an evolving high-stakes court clash that has played out for months in various courts. Judges Gregory Katsas and Naomi Rao, two Trump appointees on the majority Democrat bench, sided with the Trump administration Friday and blocking Boasberg's contempt motion from moving forward. Headline: Jeanine Pirro charges man who threw Subway sandwich at federal officer in D.C. with felony. He thought it was funny. The president's message to the criminals was, "If you spit, we hit." Well, we didn't do quite that. The other night, when an individual went up to one of the federal law enforcement officers and started jumping up and down, screaming at him, berating him, yelling at him, and then he took a Subway sandwich about this big, she used her hands to measure about a foot-long sandwich, and threw it at the officer. "He thought it was funny," Pirro added. "Well, he doesn't think it's funny today because we charged him with a felony assault on a police officer." Lord, you're doing so many amazing things. Father, how amazing it is, Lord, that faith in you, Lord, is becoming something that is intersecting with our government, Lord, and with the general populace, Lord, in the nation's capital. all of these awesome things that you're doing, reversing evil decisions by corrupt judges, Lord, bringing back respectful authority. We thank you, Lord, that the things that you have prophetically revealed are unfolding before our eyes, and we're not failing to recognize what you're doing, Lord. And we give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, everyone, for being with us again tonight. Ricky will be teaching part two on Israel, and then Oday will worship God and pray for revival and healing in the church, expansion of the awakening. Artem will pray about abortion. Ricky will pray for human trafficking. Beth will pray for Trump family cabinet safety. Palm will pray for the economy. Karen will pray against Islam's world dominion agenda. I will pray for media. Ricky will pray the hammer of justice is here, and then Lynn will pray for the election. So please stay engaged with us in the spirit and prepare your hearts for prayer, and let's listen to what the Lord is saying through Ricky as she teaches about Israel again tonight. Shanja, would you please release the sound of the shofar and the roar of the Lion of Judah, and Ricky will get us started. Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you so much, Daryl. As always, praise God. I am so excited to see what God is doing and what he's doing in our youth in a time they so desperately need a move of God. And so praise God for that. Thank you for sharing all of that. All right, turn with me, please, to Romans 11. Romans 11. And I will get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. I thank you for the victories, Lord God, that you were bringing forth in this hour. I thank you, Father, that you are moving in our midst. You are moving among our children. You are moving among our young people who so desperately, desperately need you. I thank you, Father God, for this. And Father God, as we go to your word, I ask that you would just open up these passages to us as we discuss the history of the church with Israel. I pray, Lord God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear and see what you are bringing forth, Lord God, the things that you have led me to bring forth in this hour. That we may align ourselves with your word, align ourselves with truth. And that, Lord God, as believers, we will fulfill our responsibility to Israel in this hour. I thank you, Father. I thank you. Subtle things around us that we might hear and heed what you are bringing forth tonight, Lord. In your precious name, amen. So one of the reasons I put this message, I put these messages together is because, you know, obviously Israel's been a very hot topic for a long time, but this season of time, we really are on the cusp of something. And Christians can either be on God's side of the equation. We can either fall on God's side of history and view things from his perspective, or we can fall back and participate with the world in their perspective. And that's really, there's only two options here. And I think we often try to ride the fence of controversial issues And it's time for Christians to get off the fence. Our faith and our stance in the kingdom of heaven must be firmly grounded in Him. And in order to walk that path He sets before us, we have to adhere to truth. And I think if we can grab hold of that, we can avail ourselves to truth. There are personalities out there that are sharing bits and pieces about Israel, and I'll talk more about media and how things are being presented in 2 weeks. But there are personalities out there that we really like presenting ideas about Israel that are inaccurate. And we can either lean in towards what they're saying because we like their personality, we like them, or we can lean into truth. The decision we make on this issue is really important. I can't tell you how important it is. I just can't tell you at this point. So today I'm going to talk about the church and how, you know, we got off course on our stance in Israel. I'm not saying that, you know, you may be on this phone and you're like, I'm always standing for Israel. I pray for Israel. I love Israel. I'm with Israel, you know, and praise God. Praise God. But for some people that don't know or don't understand or perhaps don't even understand the history of where the convoluted information kind of began to seep into the church and how the deception began to seep into the church, it's important that we address those things because we're intercessors and we pray, right? We repent for the sins of the past. And we look to the future and align ourselves with God in the future. And I believe that the time for this release is really important. There is a timing issue here that God has put upon my heart. And so let's go with all of that. Let's go to Romans 11. Last week I ended with Romans 11, 7 through 19. And I talked about a vision that the Lord had given me of the great awakening and revival coming to Israel. And then the impact of that in both Israel and the Gentile world. And so tonight we're going to start Romans 11, verse 19. Romans 11, verse 19, and we're going to read from there. And tonight I'm reading in the Amplified Classic Edition, because I'll be reading a lot of Romans 11, so it's a little bit easier to read and listen to. So remember in this passage, Paul is talking to Gentiles in this passage. And I think it's always important to know who the letters or who, you know, who's written what we're reading in Scripture and if they're letters, who they're written to. Because then we understand why they're coming from, you know, the side that they're coming from. And so verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken, pruned off, so that I might be grafted in. That is true, but they were broken or pruned off because of their unbelief, their lack of real faith. And you are established through faith because you do believe. So do not become proud and conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, neither will he spare you if you were guilty of the same offense. Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's gracious kindness to you, provided you continue in his grace and abide in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off or pruned away. So we're just going to stop right there because I want to bring about the Greek words for two of these words that we're reading in this passage, and then we'll pick it back up. But kindness, the Greek word used here is Christoris, and refers to a kindness that is morally useful. This is an attribute of God and a virtue created in his people. This paints a rich portrait of kindness as powerful goodness rooted in God's own nature, revealed in Christ, imparted by the Spirit, and destined to be celebrated forever. It's difficult for us to comprehend this unless the Lord reveals it to us, and even then we are limited in that level of revelation based on our own maturity in God. So that kindness, it's a morally useful kindness. We can be kind to people, but it may not be morally useful for them. We can be kind to them, but it may not be morally useful to them because we're being kind out of the flesh instead of kind out of God's goodness. So the second word, which is contrasted, we're contrasting kindness with, is severity. The Greek word used here is apotemia, and carries with it the idea of uncompromising severity, the abrupt cutting off of that which stands opposed to God's redemptive purposes. This is not a mere harshness, but righteous firmness that defends holiness, upholds covenant standards, and preserves the purity of the people of God. These two terms, kindness and severity, form a moral unity. Kindness offers salvation while severity falls on persistent unbelief. This tension safeguards grace from presumption and fuels reverent perseverance if you continue in his kindness. Keep this in mind as we read on and consider our own eternal position in God. And this right there, these two words right there, take once saved, always saved, and, you know, oh, just bring it under the blood. It puts it right out to sea, okay? So I just want you to know that. So the goodness, the kindness of God and the severity of God, Paul came to really understand the kindness and the severity of God. He really understood it. I mean, you can read it throughout his writings. Okay, so Romans 11, we're going to pick it up at verse 23 now. And even those others, the fallen branches, the Jews, if they do not persist in clinging to their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and against nature grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these natural branches back on the original parent stock of their own olive tree? Lest you be self-opinionated, wise in your own conceits. I do not want you to miss this hidden truth and mystery, brethren, a hardening insensibility has temporarily befallen a part of Israel to last until the full number of the ingathering of the Gentiles has come in. This is kindness right here. This is kindness and severity at work. The kindness of God to us is at work in this passage right here. That's among the mysteries of God. And so, verse 26, so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant, my agreement with them, when I shall take away their sins. Verse 28, from the point of view of the gospel, the good news, they, the Jews, at present are enemies of God, which is for your advantage and your benefit. But from the point a view of God's choice, of election, of divine selection. They are still the beloved, dear to him for the sake of their forefathers. Did you hear that? From the point of view of God's choice, of election, of divine selection, the Jews, he's talking about the Jews, are still the beloved, dear to him, for the sake of their forefathers. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they're given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Just as you were once disobedient and rebellious toward God, but now have obtained his mercy through their disobedience. Verse 31, so they also now are being disobedient when you are receiving mercy, that they in turn may one day, through the mercy you, us, are enjoying, also receive mercy, that they may share the mercy which has been shown to you, through you as messengers of the gospel to them. Did you hear that? Paul says, so they also now are being disobedient when you are receiving mercy, that they in turn may one day, through the mercy you are enjoying, also receive mercy, that they may share the mercy which has been shown to you through you as messengers of the gospel to them. For God has consigned, penned up all men to disobedience, only that he may have mercy on them all alike. Oh, the depths and riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unfathomable, inscrutable, unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, and how untraceable, mysterious, undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, his paths. I love it when Paul is writing and he gets so wrapped up in the revelation that God has given him, he goes to, you know, he worships right there in his writing. I think it's such a beautiful trait of his. So if we as Gentiles are grafted into the stock of the vine, supported by the root, Israel, we must always remember that the covenant which came through their lineage has been opened up to us today for this window of time. Without the stock, the root, we have nothing. Should we not even take more care then to nourish that root by fervently loving and praying for that root to come into the kingdom of heaven? That, my friends, is extending the kindness of God back to the root. I have a peach tree in the front of my house. It says, every time I look at it, I think about this passage of scripture. And it's several years old now. I planted it. I nourished it. And I was so excited when it began to fruit. The first year, I noticed that half the tree produced the most delicious peaches I'd ever had. The squirrels and I consistently have been at odds for those peaches, by the way. The other half of the tree, however, produces bitter fruit. It's so bitter, in fact, that I have to throw all of it out every year. I've nourished the tree for several years, and I realize now that it was two peach varieties that were grafted into a rootstock of a healthy, mature tree. These grafts are called scions. One has matured into a sweet, fragrant peach, something me and that squirrel, you know, we're going to fight about to the end of time. But the other scion was a bad graft that matured into a bitter fruit tree. The squirrels won't even eat from that side of the tree. The squirrels will not even eat from that side of the tree. That's how bitter that fruit is. One day I'm going to have to prune that tree. It's gotten quite large at this point. But I'm going to have to go all the way down to where that graft was made in order to get rid of that bitter fruit. And it just keeps getting larger and larger and larger and more bitter. In fact, because I was going to be talking about it today, I went out to check to see if that side of the tree was right. You know, part of me was like every year just hoping, you know, something would happen. But I went today and I went and grabbed a piece of one of those peaches and it just dropped right into my hand when I went to pick it. Tells me it's super ripe and ready. I brought it in and I rinsed it off and I took a knife and cut it open and it was just as bitter as it has been every single year. And when I thought about that, I thought one day God is going to deal with those who claim to be his children, who do not follow his commands and refuse to pray for and show kindness to the root of Israel. And when he does that, pruning is going to be painful. But he's got to make way for his covenant people to be brought back in. And he is going to cut away the bitterness that has come over the last 2,000 years. So what happened? Why is there this animosity between Christians and Israel? Now, admittedly, I know it's been both ways. But the enemy has created a wedge, a deception, to further propagate this hatred and animosity toward and between these two groups for centuries. Jew and Gentile both always at odds with a deep bitterness that divides them. We're one stock, and I think we often forget that. But this division was not meant to remain. But more than that is the fact that the rejection of the Jews by Christians is not of God. We have the truth. We have the light. We have been grafted in to provoke Israel to jealousy. So when we step out and we persecute, we reject them, and we consistently push them away, how are we, as Christians, those who possess the light, provoking them to jealousy? What are they jealous for? What are they going to be jealous of? What is it about us that is going to make them say, I have to have what you have? Are we not just pushing them further away from their Messiah? I want to tell you, and this speaks to the vision I shared last week about revival coming to Israel. When a Jewish person steps foot in Israel for the first time, I've heard this time and time again, not just from my mom. They feel like they're home. That's what happens. Because the land, the heritage, the spiritual heritage is there within them. So when they step foot in that place where that heritage stems from, if you will, something happens in them. And see, we've been grafted in to the heritage. And so when you have a Jewish person that comes in contact with a Christian that is loving on them, we're igniting within them a hunger for the heritage. They can be an atheist, but because our kindness, our love for them, demonstrating the love of Christ, the love of Messiah, the love of their own heritage, we ignite within them a jealousy to return to their heritage. It is like them stepping into the homeland. Think about that. If we have division, how do we provoke them to that jealousy? How do we make them hunger and thirst for the light that we have? So, what happened? I'm going to go through history. Get your pen out. It's a history lesson. You didn't know you were coming here for a history lesson, but I'm about to give you one. It'll be really short. I'm only going to cover 2,000 years. You can do this. We read in Acts of the initial divide that occurred after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of our Lord. And as time went on, persecution of Christians occurred by both Jewish leaders and the Romans. And then over time, we know that Christians began to persecute the Jews. And to be honest, the relationship between Christians and especially the Catholic Church and the Jewish people has been really complex. And it's been marked often by periods of theological disagreements and political tensions and even outright hostility. Now, when I say Catholic Church and I say Christian, I'm not saying that Catholics are Christians, that Catholics that adhere to, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, I'm not saying that they're Christians. They call themselves Christians. And so, you know, I'm going to use probably some of their phrasing because historically that's what's been written out. However, we know that they're not. Unless they are believers, true believers, adhering to the fullness and the truth of the Word of God, even their own understanding is limited. But some of the greatest conflicts have come through the Catholic Church upon the Jewish people. Okay, so the early church. So I'm really going to touch on key moments when I say I'm going to cover 2,000 years. I'm really going to cover almost 2,000 years, but I'm going to touch on key moments that kind of were transitioned and took us through this huge area, and then it was another transition and that sort of thing. So the early church. So this is the 2nd to the 4th century. And so the 2nd century, so this is he lived between 100 and 165 AD, Justin Martyr. He was a 2nd century apologist and philosopher. He argued in his manuscript, Dialogue with Trypho, that Christians were the true spiritual Israel, implying that Jews no longer held a unique covenantal role. And I spoke to the covenant and the longevity of God's covenants last week. The next person was a 4th century Catholic priest. His name was Augustine of Hippo. And he felt that Jewish people were to be preserved as a quote-unquote witness people to Christian truth. But he endorsed suppressionism, which is the belief that the Jewish covenant was fulfilled and as such replaced by Christianity. This is the root of what we refer to today as replacement theology. Augustine of Hippo's ideology profoundly influenced the upcoming medieval worldview. In fact, this theology, these two people right here, Justin Martyr and Augustine of Hippo, they were the catalyst. This is our point of origin of the replacement ideology that brought this false understanding into all Christian, those that bring themselves under Christian denominations, idea that Christianity replaced Israel. So successionism or replacement theology became a core tenet in many denominations, Christian, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and so on, resulting in the propagation of theological attributes, marginalizing Jewish people, and in some cases, even justifying discrimination or outright hostility toward Jewish people. And we still see this today. In pulpits in our own country, pastors will stand up there and say Christianity has replaced the Jewish people. And the covenant and the relationship and their position with God, Christianity has replaced them, which is a deception born out of Justin Martyr and Augustine of Hippo. Okay, so this next segment of time is the medieval church and the anti-Jewish policy. So this is between the 11th and 15th century. So this, we're obviously advancing very quickly through the timeline. So during the medieval period, the Catholic Church, as the dominant religious institution in Europe, implemented policies and teachings that frequently opposed Jewish communities, associating them with this, with deicide, the charge of killing Jesus, and as such, portraying them as enemies of the Christian faith. Now, I touched on this last week. We are all responsible for Jesus' death on the cross. Every one of us. That was God's plan to redeem mankind. Every one of us is responsible for his death. We cannot be pointing the fingers. For the Jewish community, however, the punishment for this, handed down through the church, has only served to divide us further. We see this under some really distinctive segregated movements throughout this particular period of history. In 1215, the Fourth Lateran Council, under Pope Innocent III, the council mandated that Jews wear distinctive clothing to segregate them from Christians, thereby reflecting the church's views of Jews as outsiders. This contributed to both social and economic discrimination. During this period of time, now that I don't have a date on here because it lasted for a long time, blood libel accusations. This was a horrific lie about the Jewish people, wherein they claimed that Jews killed Christian children for ritual purposes. If a child went missing, nearby Jews were often blamed without trial or thorough investigation. Church leaders and communities sometimes endorsed or failed to refute these false claims. These accusations incited violence and terrible pogroms. Pogroms are organized massacres of Jewish people in Russia, Ukraine, and throughout Europe. This was especially severe in Ukraine, and we saw during this medieval period, we saw tens of thousands, even up to, at a period of time, 500,000 Jewish people that were massacred by Ukrainians because of this accusation alone. They didn't just go after one person that they believed might have kidnapped a Christian child, drained their blood, and used that blood to prepare their meal. We didn't just go after that one that was accused, inaccurately, by the way. They would raise down communities. You know, people say, how could we possibly get to the point where the Holocaust was possible, this is how. Century after century of building up to a climax where millions of people, millions of Jews would be killed just because they were Jewish. They had to wear special clothing. They were raised down because a child went missing. Persecution abounded. Then during the Crusades, this is the 11th to the 13th century, Christian zealots, often with implicit or explicit church approval, attacked Jewish communities in Europe. For example, the Rhineland massacres of 1096, where literally mobs of French and German Christians of the People's Crusade committed mass murders of Jewish people. While this wasn't directly orchestrated by the church, such actions were fueled by religious rhetoric, and it was not condemned. This was one of many massacres that took place like this. These policies and events entrenched anti-Jewish sentiment, leading to widespread persecution, forced conversions, convert or die, and expulsions. We saw forced expulsions from England in 1290, France in 1306, and in Spain in 1492. So we're going to move forward to the 16th century. And this here impacted even into the 21st century. Martin Luther and the Reformation. Now, when I first heard that Martin Luther was a part of this, the reformer, I was honestly devastated. I was devastated. So if you've never heard this, I just ask for your grace, and I just want you to know I really understand. I really understand. Because I was devastated. So Martin Luther, a key figure in the Protestant Reformation. Now, I heard this years ago, but it still grips my heart. So Martin Luther initially expressed hope that the Jews would convert to his Reformed Christianity. However, when this did not occur, he turned against the Jews. In his 1543 treaty on the Jews and their lies, Luther advocated harsh measures against Jews, including burning synagogues, confiscating their books, and expelling them from Christian lands. He described Jews as rejected and condemned for denying Christ. Luther's writings influenced anti-Jewish attitudes in Protestant regions, particularly in Germany, where and were later exploited by Nazi propagandists. Think about that for a minute. Why was Luther in Germany? Because he had to flee there after he nailed his theses on the doors of the Catholic Church. He had to go into hiding because there was a bounty put on his head because his views opposed the church. And now he turned against the Jews and essentially led the way for persecution of the Jews to abound. Moving forward, church opposition by denomination to the modern state of Israel. So with the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, some Christian churches and leaders expressed opposition, often rooted in theological objections to Zionism, political concerns about Palestinian rights, or criticism of Israeli policies. Some key examples include the Catholic Church's delayed recognition of Israel as a nation. Israel became a nation in 1948. The Catholic Church did not recognize them until 1993. That's quite the delay. The Vatican historically opposed Zionism, viewing it as incompatible with Catholic theology, which traditionally saw the Jewish diaspora as a divine consequence of rejecting Jesus. In fact, the Vatican did not establish diplomatic relations with Israel until 1993, reflecting a cautious stance shaped by theological concerns and geopolitical considerations, including, like I said, the Israeli-Palestinian conflicts. Listen, that Israeli-Palestinian conflict's been going on a long time. The Church also prioritized protecting Christian holy sites and communities in the Holy Land, many of which were under Arab or Muslim control before 1948. You'd think they'd be happy when the Jews stepped up. In their defense now, the Vatican's position softened after the 1960s. It's post-Vatican II, I guess, which rejected collective Jewish guilt for Jesus' death and moved away from hard suppressionism, replacement theology, but the damage had already been done. Okay, so, Okay, so the criticism of Zionism by mainline Protestant churches. Now, this has been going on now for the last, couple hundred years. So Zionism, what is Zionism? Now, I have seen, if I did a search for Zionism, you should see what my search looks like. If I did a search for Zionism, you should see the extremes that you can find out there. But if you do like a very quick, brief search, even an AI search, and I know we're all freaked out about AI right now, but you can get a very succinct definition. It's a nationalist movement that supports the self-determination and statehood of the Jewish people in their ancestral homeland, the land of Israel. Isn't that simple? You could watch a 3-hour video, because they're out there, about the wrongs of Zionism, or you could just get that quick definition. Some Protestant denominations, particularly mainline churches like Presbyterian Church, the United Methodist Church, the United Church of Christ, have criticized Zionism and Israeli policies. And they've often, of course, gone right back to citing concerns about the Palestinian rights and the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Now, I am going to talk about Palestine. I'm going to talk about Gaza, and I'm going to talk about the media's coverage of all of this. That's going to be likely in 2 weeks. So we're just going to put a pin in breaking that down any further. But Zionism, is a movement for the establishment and development and protection of a Jewish nation in what is now Israel, like I said. And it was established as a political organization in 1897 under Theodore Herzl and was later led by Chaim, and I think it's Ham or something like that, Weizmann. Zionism is a movement that's been provoked by God to prepare a place for his people. Regardless of what you find out there on the internet, remember this one thing. Zionism, the belief that the Jewish people deserve a place to call home, a place for their protection. If you've read the book of Revelation, you should know and understand their need for this. But the belief that they deserve this is a movement provoked by God to prepare a place for his people. And as I said last week, this was a prophetic catalyst. It started the clock ticking, the end time clock, when Israel became a nation. So how has the church responded? The Presbyterian Church, it's one of the ones I mentioned, 2004 to today, they have passed resolutions calling for divestment from companies profiting from Israel's occupation. They're calling it not Israel as a nation, Israel as a state. They're calling it an occupation, citing human rights concerns. These actions have been interpreted by some as opposition to Israel's policies. The Church of Scotland in 2013. The report, The Inheritance of Abraham, questioned the theological basis for Zionism, suggesting it did not align with Christian views of the Promised Land, After criticism, the report was revised, but it reflected skepticism toward Israel's claims. The Mennonite Central Committee. This group has criticized Christian Zionism for supporting Israeli settlements, which it views as illegal and detrimental to peace. These stances have been seen by pro-Israel groups as anti-Israel, though the churches frame their actions as advocating for quote-unquote justice and peace rather than opposing Israel's existence. Now, it's important to note here that many of the churches that I've mentioned, and there's some that I have not mentioned, have moved away from traditional biblical beliefs, embracing the liberation ideology that infiltrated Bible schools in the early 19th century and today runs rampant in many mainline churches. These advocate for social justice over biblical justice. Now, I've talked about this in the past because it's very important that we pull ourselves out of the social justice movement. America's Red Sea moment approaches. Those two messages were about the social justice movement getting out of the church. If we look at Israel and what they went through, during the plagues, before they crossed the Red Sea, that was about God trying to unseat the deceptions that some of them had entered into during their time in Egypt. God was trying to eradicate from them ideologies that they'd picked up being in slavery in Egypt for so long. Clearly, there was still a little bit of a hiccup because they had to wander in the desert for another 40 years. But through that process, God worked to eradicate that stuff from them. Right now, God is trying to eradicate the social justice movement from the church. Because the church is the heartbeat of the nation. And if the church... if the heart of the church, if the church is not beating according to God's will, God's ability to use America to the fullness for America's destiny is going to be limited. We have to get this stuff out of our church. Okay, that was just a little side note. What is liberal ideology? Liberal ideology strives to reconcile Christian teachings with contemporary knowledge, science, and ethics. In other words, they've transitioned from 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. So let's read that really quick. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for the training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. Why? So the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the Word of God is for. And liberal ideology seeks to reconcile basically the Bible, by filtering the Bible through the worldly ways. Instead of viewing the world with a biblical worldview, instead of viewing what's happening out there through the lens of the Word of God, they do it just the opposite. They view the Bible through the world's lens. They do just the opposite. Okay, so they don't teach the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God. They don't teach that it's meant for our instruction. They don't teach that it's meant for conviction of sin. They don't teach that it's to train us up in righteousness or to equip the man of God for every good work. Instead, they've stripped the scriptures of their divinity and divinely inspired attributes and applied a deceptive historical cultural ideology to the Bible. So those churches that have come out against Israel, that don't believe that Israel has a right to the land, that don't believe that Israel is even still, that Jewish people are still God's chosen people, that Jewish people are still God's people, and that Christianity has replaced the Jews, those people that teach those things have embraced liberal ideology. Let that sink in. Those people propagating this level of deception are actually in deception themselves. Liberal ideology believes or states that the Bible is a collection of metaphorical or symbolic narratives rather than actual historical events. It challenges the miracles of God throughout history, from creation to the parting of the Red Sea to the birth of Christ, from his death, his resurrection, Pentecost, the fulfillment of covenant, the very foundation of the Christian faith. Liberal theology challenges it at all and says, well, it's really, you know, Jesus was, yes, he was a historical character. Yes, he just taught really good stories for us to use as a guideline for our lives, but we don't have to necessarily follow those teachings. That, no, the events that we see in creation, that the Red Sea, that the, you know, air quotes, miracles that we saw take place in Judges, in Joshua, in 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, all of that, those are just metaphors. And if you can find the metaphor, then you can get the true meaning of that passage. That is what they believe, and that is what they teach. So we wonder why the Word of God is not being taught in many churches today. This is why. Because they've embraced liberal theology. They also believe that the Bible is not necessarily clear on abortion. They also believe that if Jesus were alive today, he would embrace the LGBTQ plus lifestyle. He would embrace same-sex unions because it just wasn't culturally accepted back then. Now, Paul addressed this very harshly, right? We see this in several of his books. He addressed this very sharply. So we know it was going on back then. But they said if Jesus was alive today, he would consider the culture in which we live and his standing on these issues would be different, which is not true. They also believe in climate justice and, of course, as I've already mentioned, anti-Semitic ideology over all the biblical teachings that we know to be true. There is a direct correlation between that deception and the deceptions that are propagated about Israel. So, how can those who no longer adhere to the Word of God as the inherent Word of God be expected to stand for Israel today? I think it's very challenging. And I think that there's going to come a day, like my peach tree out front, they're going to meet the severity of the pruning of the vine dresser. So, what is the Christian's responsibility to Israel in 2025? As Christians, we've got to weigh everything in light of what the Lord brings to us through his word and through the voice of his prophets, and remember our elder brother needs our covering in this hour. Jesus, in his three-part Lost and Found series in Luke 15, speaks of the prodigal son. Like all of the Lord's parables, there are lessons that can be applied in more than one area. And as I was reading this parable, I'm going to read it again for our benefit. This can be applied to the church. This can be applied to Israel. This can be applied to family. I got a prodigal myself. I was a prodigal. You know, they do turn around. We do turn around. We just got to love those prodigals back, right? Luke 15:11. And he, being Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be Mary, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants, and asked what did these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. His brother was angry that he had returned, angry that his father gave him a fatted calf, angry. And he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he, the father, said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The Jewish people, Israel, they're like the prodigal son. You say, well, that was the older father, the younger son. Isn't Israel older in maturity? We can't get stuck on the age thing, okay? They will return to the father. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we going to run and prepare the feast for them or be bitter like the brother? Are we going to choose to bless Israel, pray for God's light to enter, for the veil to be rent, and for them to come to know their Messiah? Do we as Christians, particularly intercessors, really want to be a part of cursing Israel? Do we want to stand before the judgment seat and be shown the history of our opportunity to do so and the result of our failures? Do we want to have to answer for our unwillingness to pray for Israel? I don't think I could bear that burden, to be honest. So Daryl had a dream last week, the first night that I started this series on Israel. And so I'd like him to share it with us really quick before I go on. Daryl, can you go ahead?
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so in this dream, I was walking and I came upon a couple of guys that were having a conversation. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I intuitively knew they were talking about me and making plans for my future. I thought to myself, what right do these people have to discuss my future? They actually wanted me to join the discussion and consider what they were saying, but I made it clear that I wouldn't give it any place to these people that were butting into my life, and I had no interest in being their friends. They became offended and angry and wanted to fight me. That's when I noticed a bystander, and I knew he intended to intervene for me against these guys that wanted to do me harm. I also saw that he was engaging in nonverbal communication with a woman who was wearing a cowbell around her neck. Then the scene changed, and some kind of an official asked me to scan a tag on my phone, and I knew that by it I could be tracked. Then I had to provide my phone number to someone who jotted down the last four digits of my phone number. This person also wrote the numbers that come just before and just after the digits of my phone number. So when I woke up from my dream, I knew by revelation that the last four digits of my phone number corresponded to a chapter and verse in the Bible, and that the verses just before and just after that verse were important to read as well. So the portion of scripture that it referenced was Jeremiah 32, 37 through 44. So I'll read that portion of scripture and then I'll give an interpretation to the dream. So Jeremiah 32, 37 says, Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in my great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring them all the good that I have promised them. And fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is desolate without man or beast. It has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south, where I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. So these verses that I just read actually fit with the context of the dream, and here is the interpretation. I personified Israel in this dream, and those that wanted to pick a fight with me represented Israel's enemies that wanted to butt in on the future that God has in store for them. The bystander planning to intervene in the dream was the Lord. The woman with the cowbell around her neck also represented Israel. The cowbell has symbolic significance. Cowbells are used to identify the members of the shepherd's herd. There's another reference in the dream to God tracking his people. That's when I scanned something on my phone, which enabled tracking. So the message is one and the same. God is able to identify every single one that he drove to other countries and call them back to their own land. So this is I had that dream on Friday night after Ricky taught, and this interpretation confirms the truth of what was taught by Ricky. And the confirmation was not for me because I didn't need it. These were things that I was already convinced of, but this confirmation is for some that are on this call. I just want to read two verses real quick. Proverbs 18:17. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. So be careful when you're listening to people. If you have not studied to show yourself approved, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, any context, any verse out of context, they can make it sound really good and sell you on it. But we want to be those that study the word. Okay. Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you so much, Daryl. I really appreciate that. You know, I think that, and that does speak to the covenant, but it also fits perfectly in what the Lord put on my heart for tonight. Everything that he just shared, it just is a beautiful picture of what God is trying to confirm in this hour. When Israel becomes a nation, when it became a nation, as I said last week, it was a catalyst for end time events. And as we progress further and further into those events, the world is going to turn against Israel in greater measure. America is the last physical line of defense for Israel. As the Arab nations, which incidentally boast a 98 to 99% Islamic religion, which believe at its core death to Israel and death to America, are currently surrounding the tiny nation of Israel. Israel is only 0.24% of the entire region of the Middle East. 0.24% of the entire region. They're surrounded by people who want to kill them at every turn. And the world continues to vilify Israel. America is the last physical line of defense. But the church is supposed to be the last spiritual line of defense as we grow closer to those end time events. And especially the intercessors. We cover them with our prayers. In recent months, we've seen as media people, like I mentioned, you know, they have really disappointed me in their presentation of Israel. And like I said, I'll cover this more when I speak to the media's coverage in 2 weeks. One claims there's a difference between ancient Israel and modern day Israel, which is false. You know, over 4,500 years ago, God spoke to Abraham and covenanted with him for that land. In Genesis 14:18, Noah's son Shem founded Salem, which would be reclaimed by King David for God's people and renamed Jerusalem in 1070 BC. In addition, many descendants of ancient Israel are now living in Israel today. And God is continuously, intentionally drawing them in for Aliyah, for their own protection. Do we see the persecution building? Yes. As we progress through the prophetic timeline more and more, we are going to see more and more people flee anti-Semitic arenas to make Aliyah for their own protection. In 2022, shortly after the Russia-Ukraine conflict was reignited, Shio came to Fresno, and we drove out to Christ for the Nations. There's a facility about an hour and a half from me, and they take in, because I live in the Central Valley, and so we're the fruit basket. So they take in imperfect fruits, and they dry them and ship them out all over the world. And they're now even, God has really blessed them, and now they're contracted with grain operators who transport grains to their facility, and then they assemble highly nutritional bags of grain for soups and such and ship container loads into poverty-stricken nations. They showed us their facility and talked about it. They were packing up containers to be shipped to Israel while saw the containers being prepared to be shipped to Israel. He said one of the effects of the war was that many Jewish families who had suffered anti-Semitic persecution in Ukraine were now being forced out. The beauty of this is that they were making Aliyah. These containers were being filled with furniture, blankets, dishes, and so on to help them get established in their homeland. He was so excited to be a part of how God was using this tragedy to fulfill the scriptures and bring the Jewish people to safety by shipping supplies for them to rebuild their lives in Israel. Now, before I close, I want to encourage you on something. Well, let me touch base. Let me just speak to the Aliyah. When Aliyah is when the Jewish people are brought to Israel and they move to Israel. And even though they may endure hardship to be there at this point, God is drawing them there as a place of protection for the end times. That is the one place that they will be safe, at least for the first part of the end times. And that's why God is drawing them in to make Aliyah. So now, in the coming days, and like I said, in 2 weeks, it takes a lot to prepare these messages. And as I prepare to speak to the media issue and the media's handling of this, I need a little bit more time. But over the course of this next 2 weeks, I want to ask you, we will still have prayer next week. We're still going to have our prayer calls. I'm just not going to be teaching next week. So I want to encourage you in something. I want to encourage you to really put your thinking caps on. We've got to activate the critical thinking part of our brain. And one of the problems with social media and, you know, all these videos and everything out there, especially when you get to TikTok and you see these 30-second or 90-second clips that you have to watch them 10 times just to get keywords so you could do your own research on it. And, you know, and it's cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching for them. Keep that in mind, okay? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching for them. Because it's scrolling so fast, they know you're going to have to rewatch it. But the problem with social media, there's a positive side to it, and that is we really can, we can release information out there that we couldn't before because everything was filtered through the media, meaning the talking heads, mainstream media. But one of the problems with social media is that you can say whatever you want on there, you know, unless you're going to talk about COVID, of course, or Russia, Ukraine, then, you know, you might lose your channel. But you can talk about whatever you want. It doesn't have to have facts attached to it. And another part of the problem we're facing with this widespread social media is that we're getting our information from social media. We're getting our information on end time issues, on the life and death of people from social media. And as I talked before about AI and technology and such, it's very, very addictive. If you find yourself looking at your phone, scrolling through, not even knowing what you're looking for, but you're just, you know, making dinner or walking down the street and you're looking at your phone and you don't even know why, chances are there's an addiction there. And your phone literally is drawing you in. And it's desensitizing our spirits to the things of God. It's desensitizing our spirits to the things of God. And it's like taking your discernment knob that used to be at a 10 20 years ago and dialing it all the way down to a 2 or 3. That's what happens when you are inundated by technology. And so and I've spoken to this many times because it's such a concern of mine. We're losing our anchor, and our anchor is God. And our discernment on the events we see in front of us really needs to come through Him, not what another person is saying. If there's a crisis, our prayer closet should be the first place we go. And it's rarely the first place we go. And so I would even suggest a detox from social media. And ask the Lord to reactivate the critical thinking part of your brain and the discernment part of your spirit. And consider what we've seen in America over the last 7 years with the media and the corruption that they've promoted with propaganda. And consider the possibility that maybe, just maybe, the enemy is at work in how we perceive events in a world 7,000 miles away. And stay the course and pray for Israel. When I say that if you talk about Russia and Ukraine and you talk about COVID and you talk about a stolen election, I have a friend of mine who brings me on his broadcast once a month. And in 2021, he brought me on and we hit all the hot spots. Russia. We didn't talk about Russia yet. Yeah, it was just starting to kick off. Russia, we talked about the election, we talked about COVID. And within 3 days, that his whole channel, he had like 80,000 subscribers, was taken down. They will shut you down if you're saying what they don't want you to say. So think about that for a minute, you know? All right. So, you know, consider doing a detox from social media. And spend some extra time in prayer. Spend some time, extra time in the Word. And ask the Lord to stir the spirit of revelation from within you. It reignite that discernment. Get your discernment dial up. And reactivate the critical thinking part of your brain. Because there is a direct correlation between end time events and the increased hatred and persecution of Israel and the Jewish people the world over. And we should already have seen that. You know, we should have. And honestly, if the people of God don't pray for Israel, who's going to? Paul tells us, as I read in Romans, don't speak against the root or be arrogant in our own standing with God, but walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, being mindful of his gift of salvation to us and the root from which we were grafted into. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the information, Lord God, that you were able to, that you led me to, and that and Lord God, I thank you for also speaking to Daryl to confirm what was being shared last week. Because, Father, we really need to hear your voice and your heart on this issue. Because a Christian's responsibility in this day and age, at the very least, is to pray for Israel. Father God, I pray that as we seek your face over the course of this next couple weeks, that you would just unlock and ignite truth into our hearts. And that, Lord God, you would even speak to us, more of us, even in dreams, to confirm the path that you are directing us on. And that, Lord God, we as intercessors would be a people who follow hard after you and who seek to do your will and who seek, Lord God, to pray according to your will, recognizing the signs of the times and viewing those the signs of the times through your word and what your word says about the days ahead, so that we can further ensure that we are praying according to your will. I pray, Father God, for each person on here. And that, Lord God, you would speak to us your word and your truth. And that, Lord, as we close out 2025, I know it's August, but as we close out 2025, in this next few months, you would really do a deep work within us and prepare us for 2026. This is a season that we are in of God's period of grace, where he longs to strip us of the old and help us to step into the new. His will, his way. Lord, help us to submit to your will in this period of time. I thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, Daryl.
Okay, thank you, Ricky. That was great teaching. Lots of good information as well. Oday is now going to open up and worship God. Thank you, Oday.
Thank you, Daryl, and thank you, Ricky, for that powerful insight and exposition. I pray that God helps us to begin to see things from his own perspective, from his views, with his eyes and mindset, to understand his will and help us with the real engagements. Now we're going to worship God. This is Ode. We'll be worshiping God. We'll be praying for revival and healing in the church. We're going to pray for expansion of the awakening. Let's just join me together as we lift up our voices wherever we are, all in it together, all hands on deck, as we pray and worship our God. Father, we worship you. We bless your name because you are God. We come, Lord, my God, with a heart of gratitude to say thank you. Thank you for the amazing things you've been doing, Lord, my God. Thank you for the answers to prayer. Thank you, Lord, my God, for the wonderful praise report by Daryl. Thank you, Lord, my God, for the insight and expository teachings given by Ricky. And, Lord, my God, thank you, Father, for the unction and the grace you've been releasing even upon the various intercessors, those who also are leading the prayers, Father, and the strength and the energy and the grace to press on, Lord. All these come from you, and Father, we say thank you. We bless your holy name. It's not because we are some special experts. It is because of your grace that is at work in us. It is you who works in us, both to will and to do according to your pleasure and your will. Lord, we come to you because you are Jehovah. You are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. Besides you, there is none other. Lord, on a flight yesterday, Abuja, someone was asking, a Muslim guy, and he said, he was asking a question that if God created everything in the world, who created God? I said, that's why God is God. Can never fathom him completely. God is God. He created the whole world, the Almighty God, and rules in the affairs of men. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Bratoske telega and the God, self-existing. Maniam paskun tavaligeske the God. Who can say to you, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? No one can challenge your divinity. No one can challenge your position. No one can challenge what you say. Because, Father, you are the one who sees the end from the beginning. You are the all-knowing God. You are the all-wise God. Only you is good. Only you are good. None other. The one who the entire world is like but a drop of water in your palm. The merciful King of Glory, Oh, gracious. Mighty mercy. Who chose to come down and die for the sins of man, to set man free. Father, we bless you. We worship you, Lord. The God who moved the mountains, and the mountains do not realize that they have been moved. Shimiku kuskembula madigis kansanduri abatas kerigeri gariaga. Prakatas katugulu mushinke sandaliari. Lord, we worship your name, Father. We pray, lifting up the church before the throne of grace, O Lord my God, that the church will return to you, our Maker, to your word, your will, and your way. That will return to your word, your will, and your way. That will return to your word, your will, and your way. In complete submission to it, O Lord my God. Like in Acts, Father, that will return to the ministry of the word and return to the ministry of prayer, of communion, of communication with you, of seeking your will in our lives, in our families, in our nations, in our community, in the nations and in the continents of the earth. Biko paskiri yebo skaliga san sanderi agas katagali aga. Bratuska papaskiri libo sen sen god moshi kisu sambali. Bratuska bus kalamashi inteka skaragali aga. That we so take in your word and become your word. That everywhere we go, your word will go. Marika poska pataliga neri aga. And as your word is going, O Lord my God, breketes ketelegete regete kete 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 kete, he will bring forth hearing. And as hearing comes of your word, Father, brekupa paski digila poska tagali aga, faith will arise that will lead to salvation. Brakupa tanga, amen, will turn to you. Men will turn to your will, your word, and your way, and begin to reflect a life of Christ likeness in every form, in every way, in our offices, in our homes, in the political sector, in our streets, in our shopping mall, that there will be a massive outpouring, massive and great rippling effect of Christ likeness across the nations. Lifting up the banner of Jesus everywhere. Lifting up Jesus above all things, Father. And like you said, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. Lord, we're praying for a massive turning to you and a massive reflecting of Christ in our community. Which will in itself, Lord my God, be a massive release of light. Multiplicity of lights, O Lord, in our lives, in our hearts, in our communities, in our families, that Father, darkness will be dispelled. That's true revival, Father. True revival, Lord my God, is not just in the euphoria of the gatherings of people in numbers and shakings and vibrations, but Lord, it is in reflecting Christ in deeds, in thoughts, in actions, in words, in engagement, in interaction, in relationship, in works, in everything. That the entire continents of the earth will be saturated, will be with the manifestation of Christ likeness everywhere, 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 to the glory and to the praise of your holy name, leading, O Lord my God, straight to the expansion of the awakening. An awakening from darkness, an awakening from death, an awakening from sluggishness, from slothfulness, Lord my God, from life of duplicity and deception unto a life of truth, righteousness, joy in the Holy Ghost. That is of godliness. Causing the church, like Ricky often say, to become a beacon of truth. A beacon of truth. A beacon of truth. That people engaging with the church will be engaging with you. That they will experience a transformation themselves. That will mold them into Christ's likeness. Lord, cause us, Father. Like you said, Lord, in your word, that we will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us and will become witnesses unto you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, that Father, O Lord, our God, that people will come to you en masse, receive you, live for you, and speak for you, and reflect you in every way, in every form, bringing glory, praise, and honor to your mighty name. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ode. This is Artem. In our next prayer point, we're going to pray against abortion. We're going to pray for the states and their efforts to ban abortion. We're going to pray against the culture of death, and we're going to pray over Planned Parenthood to be defunded in Jesus' mighty name. O ramasikele redeki shila ramasumburu luku o redeki ashakalara baka suru baba sin dalara mahandu koro koro boko shakalara baka sita takarabaka o larabaka santuki o Lord. O Ramashikilere de Ki Asunder de Ki. We cry out, O God. Ko Ramashikilere de Ki. We lift up our voices, O Lord. We lift up our hands to you, Lord. Ke Laramasuto Tokoroboko Shikilere de Ki Asi. Suta Taparando Doboro Doko Shikilere de Ki Asunder de Kuruboho Doko Shi. O Lord, Ko Ramasunder de Ki. We cry out for our nation, O Lord. O Ramasekelere de Ki Asunder de Ki. O Lord, let this plague of abortion, O God, Ko Ramasunder de Ki, be eradicated, O Lord. O Ramasunder de Ki, be eradicated, O God, Ko Ramasekelere de Ki Asa. In each and every state, O God. O Lord, across all the states, all the United States of America, O God. O Ramashikilere de Ki. O, let abortion be eradicated in Jesus' name. O Rabaka Sandu de Koluru Bohodokoshi. O Rabaka Sikilere de Kiyasa. O Lord, we uproot the culture of death. Ko Ramasikilere de Kiyasandu de Ko. O Ramasandaki. And we plant the culture of life deep into the heart of this nation, O God. O Rabakasita Takanara Mahandukusu. O Ramasandaki. Let this culture arise in our land, O God. Culture of life, O Lord. O Ramasikilere de Kiyasandaki. O, for you are the Lord. For you are Lord, the giver of life. Kora bakashin to tokoluru bokoso. Sita takalara mahando koso te te kiridiki. Shike leridiki asandu do borodu boredigi agaza. Gozo go de gida gada 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 gida ga. Geja galara mahado kozo gore gidi 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 gida. Kelara mahando koso ta te kiribigi rabakato koro bakataki asandu diki. Hishike leridiki asandu tokoluru bakataki asandu doko. Sin da da bara da gara ba gara de giri de giri ge la ra ma gara ba kara ba kara ba kara de kiri de kiri de kiri ra ba kasu ho shaka la ra ma handu kusu ra ma 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 shi ta te 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 ke la ra ba handu kusu ra ba kata kiri e bara da kiasa ho in Jesus mighty name. O Rabakasandriki, in Jesus' mighty name. O Rabababababababababababababa. Kishakala Rabahatokusu. Kishakala Ramahandokusu. Kurabakadiki. Shikidiki Arabahatokutukurubakaradiki. Asandukurubaka. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Hela Ramasandukudiki deki deki Yarabakadiki. O Tatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat toko toko taki taki te ke la rama hata katako robo hata ki sanduduko. Oh Lord, we welcome the river of life, O God, in this land. We welcome the river of life. Hela raba ka sanduduko shekelere de ki sanduduko. Ko rama sandede ki shekelere de ki sanduduko. Oh rabaka shakala radaki sandeki. Oh rabaka shakala rabaka sandeki she. Oh rabaka sekelere de ki sanduduko. Oh Lord, we welcome the spirit of life. Kela rama sandeki, we welcome you, O Lord. Kela rabaka sududuko rubahoduko she. Oh rabaka sandidekilere de ki sanduduko. Oh Lord, ko rama shikelere de ki. Revive our land, O God. Revive our land, O Lord. Oh, Ramasandiki, Father, we pray for legislation, pro-life legislation to arise in the land, O God, to be established, O Lord, to be established in each and every state, O God. Oh, Ramasandiki, on the state level, O God, we pray for abortion to be banned in each and every state, O God. Oh Rabba Sandadaki, Sandadaki. Oh Lord, Ko Rama Sandadaki. We release this abortion ban, O Lord. Oh Rama Sandadaki, Soto Dokorobokotoki de Kideka, Kita Katakata Koto Kotoko, Shikelerideki, Sandadaki. Oh Lord, we release this ban, O Lord, all across the states. Hela Rama Sandadokoroboko, Shikelerideki, Sandadoko. Sila ramahanda ki de kila rabakata ko shikeleri de ki tu ko roboko te kisa hurra bakashandu de ko roboko de ko su roboko te ki raba. Oh Father, we dismantle all the plans of the enemy. Hurra bakashikeleri de ki sandu de ko roboko shandu de ko hurra bakasandu de ki shikeleri de ki sandu de ko hurra bakashide de karabaka de ki rebekiri de ki rebeki. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we cut the financial funding of Planned Parenthood in Jesus' mighty name. We cut you off in Jesus' name. We cut you off in Jesus' name. Hela rabaka sundu de kuruboko shikeleri de kia sande de kia. O ramasande de kia shikeleri de kia. We stop all the funding. We stop all the funding. Federal, state funding, private funding. In Jesus' name, we prohibit any kinds of fundings. Oh Lord, to flow into this organization and to any other agency alike. And we reroute that funding. O Ramasandaki, to pro-life agencies, birth centers, hospitals, Kena Ramasandu Dokoroboko, Shikeleri Dekia Sandu Doko, community centers where life, O Ramasandaki, is promoted, Kena Ramasandu Dekia Shikeleri De, So Ramashakala Ramasandu Deki, Sura bakata kiribiki arabakata korubakara bikiridiki shakala ramahadako sojadiki arabakata korubakaradiki shikeleridiki sandiku. Oh Lord, we also reroute this funding into programs for young generation, O God, that would promote life, O Lord, Kurama Sandiki. That would be a pro-life programs, O Lord, O Rama Sandiki, trainings, Kelaramasandaki, community centers, youth centers, Hela Rabaka Sandutuko, Sur Rabakateki, Ribiki, Arabakatako, Bakateki, Arabakateki, Shakalaramahandokoso. Oh, we say no to abortion in our land. In Jesus' name, Kelaramasandutuko, Rubakotekira, Kelaramahandokotoko, Sakatakita, Kataka. Shika teke 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 te shoko toko roko rake deke deke daka 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 da. Hallelujah. Ko rabo kataki ya rabo hatokosu. Hu shakana rama sande deki ya shikeleri deki. In Jesus' name, O Lord, we pray for all kinds of media channels, O Lord, that popularize and promote death and culture of death and killing of the innocent babies. In Jesus' name, we We command for those channels to be closed down in Jesus' name. Oh, Ramashekeleredekia Sandiki, media channels, oh, social media platforms, Kenaramasandiki, oh, Ramasandiki, blogs and vlogs and all kinds of things, oh God. Oh, Ramashekeleredekia Sanduku, Shila Ramahanduku Sura Bakatekia. TV shows and TV programs to be closed down in Jesus' name, to be defunded in Jesus' name. Oh, Ramasakeleri de Kia Sanduku, Sita da Karabakotokuruba Hadakia Shakeleri de Ki, Oh, Rabakasanda de Kia Shakeleri de Ki, Oh, Ramamamamasada de Ki. Oh, Lord, we pray for shift. Oh, God, we pray for shift in the cinema industry, movies, TV shows in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, let there be shift, oh Rabakasandiki, in the nation, oh Ramasandiki, Shikilidiki, towards pro-life movement, oh Rabakashindralor Bokaso, Setada Karabakhadaki, let there be a shift. O Ramasandaki, among the actors in Jesus' name, O Ramasandadakia, that they would refuse to engage into movies and TV shows that promote death in Jesus' name, or killing of the innocent babies, shedding of the innocent blood in Jesus' name. O Ramasandadaki, we say no. El Ramasandadaki, Sokorobo Shakana Ramasandadi. Oh, we praise you and we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory, for you are the giver of life and you are the God of life. We worship you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Artem. This is Ricky, and I will be praying over human trafficking. Father God, I lift up this issue of human trafficking, Lord God. How tragic this has become over the years, Lord God, and we see it intensifying. We see organizations rising up to fight against it. But Father God, in this last administration, we saw such an increase in our country. Father God, children being abused online, and this is propagating addiction to porn, even by young people. I saw a report that one of the top porn type sites that's visited by teenage boys is incestual relationships on porn sites. And this is increasing the rates of abuse of little girls and little boys, little sisters and little brothers. Because it is so widespread, oh God, and so readily available that it's becoming an epidemic. One that is devastating the hearts, the minds, and the bodies of our children. Hospitals are reporting abuse that is taking place, skyrocketing over the last several years, of children, and often by a sibling. Father God, we see missing children. We see organs going missing. We see, Lord God, babies being trafficked. We see horrific things. But Lord God, it's time for you to come and put an end to this. It's time, Lord God, for an infiltration of the Spirit of God in this realm. It's time, Lord God, for you to penetrate the hearts and the minds of our young people and draw them away from this addiction. Oh, Father God, we fight for the abuse that's taking place, or fight against the abuse that's taking place. As children are taken away from our parents, but we cannot forget to fight for the abuse that's taking place within the homes. This is a tragedy. Oh, Father God, we need your intervention. And I hear 300,000 kids came across our border. In the last administration, and they were lost in the recesses of our nation. I think how many of those had their organs trafficked? How many of those were put on these horrific porn sites? How many of those have been sacrificed by witches and warlocks? How many of those are being sold to 8, 10, 12 people a day until there's nothing left of them? How many of those are no longer living because they were lost in the recesses of our country? Oh, Father God, and forth. Oh, Lord God, send forth the hunters and the fishers to rescue them. Send forth the hunters and the fishers to rescue the children. Send forth the hunters and the fishers to rescue the children, O God. To restore them, to heal them, to redeem their lives. Oh, Father God, set up agencies who can take them in, not NGOs that simply funnel them off to the cartel, but Lord God, send forth, set up agencies who will rescue them and take them through healing and deliverance and help them find their way back home. How many were kidnapped by the cartel and then dumped on the other side of our border? How many came as unaccompanied minors? How many of them came with an adult that was not related to them, and so they were funneled into NGOs in our country? How many? How many? How many? It doesn't even matter the sheer volume. 300,000 are missing. Father God. And in those hunters and those fishers to rescue them. And I ask, oh God, I know there's some very good hackers who are working with the authorities to target and locate those who are posting videos of these children. And they're targeting those who pay to watch videos of these children. I pray, Father God, that you would open the eyes of the blind, as it were, and you would pull back the veil and let these people be found, that these children can be rescued. And Father God, get at the root of these organizations that set up these horrific websites and streaming services and shut them down for the sake of the children. You said it's time to rescue the children. And, oh, God, in your mercy, I cry out to you and I say, rescue the children. We stand with you and we war with you, O God, on behalf of the children. Send in the rescuers and shut these sites down. Shut these organizations down. O Father God, in your mercy and in your grace, in your name I pray. Amen.
Palm, I'm not sure if you got the message that we changed the order.
Okay.
Are you available to pray?
Yeah, I'm available. I was waiting for
okay,
this.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, this is Palm. Tonight we're praying. We're praying for the economy, food, fuel, real estate, stability. We're praying we'll come against planned economic crash. We pray for the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates and get out of the market and into assets back economy. We also pray for solid trade deals. Father, we thank you. Lakeandos komparitos kobeada. Malus kondoradiada. Bandos kapedi valos sufredigada. Zunta kariba luskea paratas kendo porotas keavada. Lashindo porodos keamba karudona. Mande yados kubeandos kupantala. Lasuto roto koto barikata para. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Ligados kupantali vrendo kuparatala. Zuntalia ribokotos komparata venda. Niandos kontapacha. Zivregato, zavredi malakurata zegeanda kutapala. Yantakalia, rutos konto pachali gratus compredi valakuratas kapradia. We bring the economy before you, Lord. We thank you because nothing is impossible with you. Not even the economy. Ligatus compradi vacarutos conto pachali vrataria. It is you who can turn it around. It is you who can bring it, O God, to fruition. Livrantos compredia. It is you who can cause the economy to flourish. And Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus for economic stability. Liga paratos compredivala of the United States. Caridos copranta fando rigeria. Lavra to contos campanivala, rutos conto pata, zuvredi malacuranda, beantos conto pata, ligranto cotoparica para. Would you invade the economy by the power of your spirit, O God, and stabilize it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Ligotos conto pacha livra caparutos conto pacha livrendo coto givre caparutos conto pacha livre kata. Despite the gangs, O God, the ganging up against, O Lord, the policies of the president, Lord, we are asking in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would grant him, O God, great wisdom in the trade deals his entry in with different nations, that no matter how they gang up, O Lord, baratos conto pacha levranto cotoparia, that truth will prevail, reason will prevail, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Likato corutos kedia, zabranto koto, libranto condos ke pradiantala, mambracatos conto pacha legrento cotopara, labratos conto pacha, breca parutos conto pacha legrediantala, lizubracato poruto. That the economy will surge up, the economy will grow in leaps and bounds in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. A stabilized economy. Livra katos konto pachalingrato sopredia. We pray, O God, for food stability. Lingratos kompredia. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Likato rotolia. Livra katos kompredia. That your hand will rest upon the agri sector, O God. Lika pakarutos konto pacha. Likratos kompredia makarutos konto pacha. Livrento koto. Jivrenta kaparutos konto pacha. For full stability in the name of Jesus. Karatos konto. Livre caparutos compredia. We pray for fuel stability in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Likato rukata. Livra caparutos conto pacha. Yes, Lord, at prices, O God, that are affordable for the people. In the name of Jesus. Karutos conto pacha livrantoria. Labra katos conto pacha ligra pacuratalia. Zunto kacha karutos compredivala. Livre caparutos conto pacha lingre. Stabilize, O God, the economy. We are asking, O God, for stability in the real estate, O God, sector. Lakura pakarutos konto pacha livrento koto. Jivreka pakarutos konto pacha librontos konto pacha. Livrega pakata zuto kata. Livreka parutos konto pacha legrendo koto para. Yanta karutos konto pacha livranto koto. Jivrekata parutos konto pacha livrento koto. Jivrekata livranto kotonga. Mabratos konto pacha livrento koto para. Lavratas compreneva la curatas capredia. We come against, O God, a planned economic crash in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No matter how, O God, they have strategized against it, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the economy will not crash. Lord, sustain the economy in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lika parutos konto paria. Livra katas compreneva kata. Let the plans of the enemy collapse. Let the plans of the enemy fail in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Likatos compredia. The economy will not crash in the name of Jesus. Karutolia. Livranta koparipodos konto pacha. Ligredi barato kota. Zimbrakatos konto pacha. Livreka pakarutos compredeva karutos konto pacha. Livreka parutos konto pacha. Livrendia. We commit the people, O God, in whose hands, oh God, the economy is, oh God, that you grant them wisdom, you grant them understanding of what to do, oh God, Ligrapara, to show the economy, Ikatoria, from the plant crash, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Ligatoria, Las Kunto Pacha, Ripokotos Kebia, Mampratos Kunto Pacha, Ligraparatalia, Yento Kotoparika Paratos Kunto Pacha. We pray, O God, for the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates and get out of the market and into the asset-backed economy in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yidos kuntapara, livra taparutos compredia, livra kataparutos conto pacha, livrento koto, yambrakatos compredia, livre kaparutos conto paria. Turn around the, oh God, interest rates in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lika paratos conto pacha, lingra pacarutos conto pacha, livrento koto, livra kaparutos conto pacha, livranto koto, livre kaparutos conto pacha. Let the economy be backed, oh God, by asset backed, oh God, economy. Likatos kunta pacha, lizuvre kaparutos konto pacha, ligrianto kuta, jivreta kaparutos konto pacha, mambratos konto pariala bantos kodu, jivre kata barutos konto pacha, livredia kapara, lizura meanto konta, jikamba kuranto kodos kebeantora, livre kapara, luskunto kacha rapa kuta, jivrenda parutala, mambra katonga, libra to kutos kebiantala, yika parutos compredia paratos conto pacha, yanta kaparutos conto pacha, yes Lord. Oh God, solid trade deals in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Likatara, Luzunto Katarepa Kuratala, that are sustainable in the name of Jesus, Karuto Komparia Labanto, Jikea Paruta Kato, Lizibra Kapakarutos Konto Kata, Lizuvre Kaparatu Konta, Lizuvronto Kalabrento Kotoparia Lavantos Konto Pachaligianto Kata, Mampratos Konto, Paria Labunda, Zike. Yapa karuto kontas kebanta rigada luzuto kacharanta kura paria luzuta kachare pakuratos kento mangratos konto pacha. Your hand upon the economy in the name of Jesus, sustain it, O God, linka pakata, cause it to grow, O God, and to prosper, to flourish in the name of Jesus. Water the economy by the power of your spirit against all plans and schemes in the name of Jesus. Lakutas kaparutos kompredivara. We thank you. We give you praise, O God, for what you're doing in the economy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Palm. This is Karen. My prayer focus is Islam. We will be praying against world dominion agenda of the Islamic extremist. We pray for the exposure of sleeper cells in our nation, bringing lasting resolution, exposing key players and bringing them down, and strip them of their funding, stripping Islam of their funding. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come before you, Lord, and to bring to you all that is working on a daily basis of destroying our nation and its people. Lord, we thank you for giving us the desire to stand around our nation as Nita once saw the vision she had about the shields, shoulder to shoulder, Tila Mokoshi, as a covering of our nation. Lord, we thank you for that vision, Father. We give you praise. Sikelo Mokoshi, Lede Bekeshi, you're God of truth and righteousness. Yakalebe kiloro mokoshi hisalabakashi kita tataraya mokoshi. Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name. Yekalara maku kurobokoshi. Nyashale me kilebokoshi lebekeshi. Hitatale rebekeshi kurobokoshi. Ina yaboko lebokoshi. Ikele me keshi kurobokoshi. Hisa tilebokoshi. Ikarara makushi. Ketamokoshi ketomokoshi. Na yele me keshi kalaramakashi, ketarabokoshi. Iseta yele me keshi kalabokoshi, ketolurbokoshi. Ikele mokoshi la bokoshi la mokoshi, ketala mokoshi, ihala mokoshi in the name of Jesus. Itala mokoshi, anamokoshi. Inala mokoshi, kalabokoshi. Father, we bring Islam and its agenda before you. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to release your justice upon the head of Islam and all of its destructive devices that has come against our nation and nations around the world. You said, Father, that Islam is an evil altar. Ketaru bokoshi, the spirit of Islam, italu bokoshi, is evil itself. He yalamoko toru bokoshi, yetaru bokoshi. And their agenda against our nation, Father, is to outnumber Americans, outnumber every other nation, so that they will have dominion and power over the nation, and we will be their slaves if we do not accept the ideology of Islam. Yatotata yakanama ikatabukurubukushi. They've made this clear that they will outnumber us. Father, in Jesus' name, the agenda of Islam be brought down in the name of Jesus. Be dismantled piece by piece in the name of Jesus. Every word on the pages of their agenda be destroyed. Ikalamakashi, like running ink on a piece of paper, in the name of Jesus, rendering it powerless in Jesus' name. Isakolo bokoshi, yetalamaku shokoro bokoshi, ilamakashi karamokoshi, bringing down that agenda in Jesus' name. And every person who is party to this agenda, katokoro bokoshi, yelamakashi kata, we say that that agenda will turn into dust in their hands. Father, in Jesus' name, yatata kurobokoshi. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say your plan of world dominion in Jesus' name, it is shut down, cut off. It is canceled out in the mighty name of Jesus. Every plan of attack against the nations, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, it is thwarted. And brought down. We void it out with the power of God's word in the mighty name of Jesus. There is one God in Jesus' name. There is one faith in Jesus' name. There is one baptism in Jesus' name. Yatalebekeshi, and his name is Jesus. Akalamokoshi, halomokoshi, isalamekeshi. We put the fire of God in Jesus' name against that agenda. Yatalebekeshi, ikelemekeshi, and the altar it operates on. Yakolobokoshi, we bring it down by the power of Yeshua's might. Ilamakashi lebekeshi, kuromokoshi. Father, we call you down your justice and your judgment upon this agenda. It's an evil agenda. It's a murderous agenda. It's filled with innocent blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, this agenda must be stopped in Jesus' name. We stop it in his tracks. We declare you can take no another step in the mighty name of Jesus. Yakala Makashi, every key player that's funding Islam to bring America and other nations to its knees, Ilobokoshi, expose every key player. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring him out of the shadow of darkness into your light in Jesus' name. Expose his doing. Expose their heart in the name of Jesus. We call out deep state in the mighty name of Jesus. Yetalamakashi, we strip you of your rights that you think you have to rule America, to rule and other nations in the mighty name of Jesus. We call forth the Vatican in Jesus' name. We dry up your funding in the name of Yeshua. Yatabokoshi, and all the power that you have that's from the enemy in Jesus' name, the justice of God, the judgment of God falls upon it like fire in Jesus' name, and to destroy the works. Hakalamakashi, in the mighty name of Jesus. Yakalamakashi, Yetolobokoshi, Elamashi Ketolobokoshi, Yelemokoshi. Your agenda in Jesus' name, we will Ketamokoshi, dismantle it week after week after week until it is in shred, until it is in dust, in the mighty name of Jesus. Islam, you will not take hold of this nation. You will not take hold of other nations, because the earth is the Lord and the fullness of it and everything under the sun, under the stars, under the earth, all the earth belongs to God in Jesus' name. In every sleeper cell that's waiting for its moment to come forth and begin to murder innocent lives for the sake of Islam in Jesus' name. Expose, expose, expose every sleeper cell. Yabokoshi, Father, in Jesus' name, draw them out. Ilomokoshi, draw them out from the hillside. Draw them out, Father, from the earth, Father. Draw them out from our neighborhoods, from our churches, from our government, Father, from our Abashikata, our businesses. Draw them out in the mighty name of Jesus. Iyamokoshi, and dispel them, Isokolamokoshi, from the soil of America in the mighty name of Jesus. Yetabokoshi, Yetabokoshi, and every false flag that keeps our heads turned to something else. When Islam is taking ground in Jesus' name, Ikalamokoshi, Yetabokoshi, we destroy your works. Every false flag be exposed in the name of Jesus. Yetoromokoshi, Ikalamakashi, Yetabokoshi, Yelomokoshi, Isilamekeshi, in the mighty name of Jesus. We cut off in Jesus' name the funding to Islam. We cut off, Father, the Sabokoshi, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of Yeshua's might, in Jesus' name. Draw up the well of evil in Jesus' name. Draw it up, Hakalebekeshi. Draw it up, Helemokoshi. Close down banks that fund Islam. Close down banks. Close down credit unions. Close down businesses that's funding Islam, Father. If they don't turn away from evil, in the mighty name of Jesus, all sleeper cells. You are exposed in the spirit. Father, expose them in. Let it manifest in the natural, in the mighty name of Jesus. When you hold the funding in your hand, I declare it will turn into dust. In the mighty name of Jesus, when you go out into the battlefield with your swords drawn, you will meet the host of heaven in the name of Jesus. And will be brought down by the power of God's might in the mighty name of Jesus. Islam, you have had your time. Now it is up in Jesus' name. The Father has drawn a line in the sand. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bring Islam, Father, to its knees. Whether in repentance, or you have to bring them low because you've had to end it all. However you choose to do so, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that Islam has had its last in the mighty name of Jesus, its last dance with death against the people of God, against your creation. You have been warned. Islam, you have been warned in the name of Jesus, every altar that you have operated on in Jesus' name. Father, we call down the fire of God and destroy the altar that works against America, the altar that works against it in the name of Jesus, every other country in the name of Jesus. Every altar of Islam that's been funded by our government, by the Vatican, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are at your end. In Jesus' name, you have crossed too many barriers. You have crossed the line of Christ. In Jesus' name, there is no return for you. Father, in Jesus' name, send down a hammer of justice across this nation, across Loma Shikata, Iyalamakashi, Yekata Kolomokoshi, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've warned Islam. We thank you, Father, that you are drying up their funds. We thank you that you're calling our government forth for the funding of Islam. We thank you, Father, that you're calling forth the Vatican for funding Islam, for the innocent bloodshed. Because of the innocent bloodshed and their agenda that's filled with death. Father, in Jesus' name, the innocent blood that's been shed, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to cover it with the blood of Jesus. Cover it with the blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the destruction of Islam. We thank you, Father, for pushing them back over that line that they've crossed. We thank you, Father, for having mercy on the innocent, those who want to be set free, those who want to leave. We know that they have a law that if you leave, you die. Father, we take an eraser from heaven and we remove that apostate law from the heads of the people who have joined Islam and with a knife at their neck.
Inomokoshi, Ikatamokoshi, Yeromokoshi, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you are setting those captives free. We heard the stories, Lord, that Islam is coming to Jesus, and we call for many more to come out of darkness into your light and be saved. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, amen. This is Daryl. I'll be praying for media, for truth to be restored, and a new breed of journalists to come forth. Mate karabakatesaka. Rebakatasaka. Lord, we thank you for your prophetic revelation, Lord. Revelation of these new journalists arising, Lord, of truth. The old ones being uprooted and leaving, and the new ones coming in. We thank you for what you've already done, Lord. So many that have been sued and ousted from their positions. Entire networks crumbling, Lord. New faces arising, Lord. And yet there is still so much more to be done. We pray that you would continue, Lord, to bring the fulfillment of your word so that there are none of those liars, none of those that are causing constant propaganda and stirring up evil in America, Lord. Continue to go after them in the name of Jesus, Lord. Continue to move upon your people to have the voice of truth in Jesus' name and to raise up these new journalists that are anointed by you. We thank you for a revival and awakening, Lord, that play into this. The conscience of society changing. Your light and your understanding coming in. Even those news outlets, Lord, that speak about some factual things are in essence lying when they package it with a worldly perspective, Lord. It can only truly be the truth when there's a biblical worldview, Lord. So we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, moving upon the people, moving in government, moving in media, moving in the church, Lord, moving upon the youth, Lord, that are going to be anointed and raised up by you. Many of them into this area of journalism, Lord. We pray that they would be bankrolled in Jesus' name, just as the enemy has underhandedly bankrolled. We pray, Lord, that you would take that money, Lord, that they stole to use for Satan's purposes, and that you would put it into the hands of the righteous, Lord, and that it would support the truth. I pray for new legislation in Jesus' name, God, that would raise the standard and the criteria for those in media to a brand new level, Lord, and that there would publicly be an embracing, Lord, of the truth. Your word says, Lord, that the truth and the righteousness have kissed each other. Let truth and righteousness reign from these media outlets, Lord. Karini gorende manzundanga brehenede bashi kindurudu boshitanana. I pray, Lord, for the audiences, Lord, that choose to feed on the propaganda and don't even give ear or even look at other sources of news, Lord, that there would be some way to invade their world, Lord, so that they would have to have the truth come across their eyes and into their ears, Lord, in Jesus' name. Those networks that are, in essence, deceiving and lying, Lord, by holding back the truth that they know and presenting a very lopsided view of what's going on in the world, Lord, to fit their narrative, Lord, to spawn hatred, parabakate sukarabakata, to feed their evil greed and their selfishness, Lord. Marabakata, we say, be uprooted in the name of Jesus. And righteousness and truth come in. The anointing to destroy every yoke in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the truth is more powerful than the lies, Lord. And the light expels the darkness in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for releasing strategy, for knowing how to bring these evil organizations down, Lord, and establishing your truth, Lord. And Lord, I pray that just as I share the good news, Lord, because it's uplifting, we pray that there would be outlets that are committed to telling the good news of what you're doing in the earth, Lord, to break the negativity, Lord. Narabakata, news of what your church is doing, Lord. We speak you a blessing onto these journalists and these organizations, Lord, that are of the truth. Be blessed, be multiplied, be expanded, take over, rapakataka, possess the gates of your enemies in Jesus' name. Snakes out in Jesus' name. Arende kusote karuka tagara. And Lord, I pray for these situations once again, such as with the Epstein files and those issues that actually have some kind of a reasonable appearance. Lord, ate kure de kuta karabakata, rote kutu karababab rahabababakasa kata, rabaka. Lord, they're misleading. Expose the hidden truth, Father, in the name of Jesus. Expose the hidden truth, Lord, of those things that bring a reproach against the righteous. Makalabakate kuta kalabakata kata. Rotokoto, and vindicate the righteous, Lord, and let the blame lie where it should be. And I pray, Lord, that you would set a guard over President Trump's mouth, Lord, and over the mouths of all of those that are in media, Lord. And there are many that try to catch them in their words, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would speak the truth in love and in righteousness, Lord, and that you would grant them an anointing that causes their words to pierce. We thank you for the anointing on President Trump's life, Lord. His words carry weight. Halabakate shuka rabakata saka. Rabakata, let those that speak against what he's doing that you've called them to do be put to shame. Have their influence stripped from them in Jesus' name, Lord. Narete kurda da barra de kotugada. Egazanda kalagaresha kalabakata kazan de didikaza. Yoka masentengukusha ashalakala. Iksunda kalabala shakanda kalabarakara da katakata. Kurododo boko briki de didigi entenke. Arabagadaka da 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 basha. Lord, I pray for a fresh new wind of your Holy Spirit for those that are weary. Weary and bogged down and tired of dealing with all of this murky stuff, Lord. We thank you for your power and your awesome, glorious truth. Rekindling the flames, Lord. Po rabakate shuka rabakata. Eksur rabakate sheketa rubakata. Barataka sukataga rabakate kata. Rote kataka tushuka tagata kata. Oteka. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Daryl. This is Elizabeth. And we'll be praying over Trump family cabinet safety for J.D. Vance, RFK, Tulsi, and the entire team, including Elon. Pray against retaliation against them. Pray for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, unity. Pray for God's will to be accomplished through this administration. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, it is a new day and it is a new wave to see the wicked fall, to see their plans fail, to see them, Lord Jesus, purge from our Congress, purge from our government, purge, Lord Jesus, from Trump's plans, Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Father, that you give them the strategy. You give them all the strategy. You give them the wisdom, discernment, understanding, how to work and uproot the elite. Uproot the stumbling blocks. Uproot in the name of Jesus. All Jesus. All the works of the wicked one in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. All that they're uncovering, Lord, all that they're overturning, poison in the health services sector, all the poison, oh Jesus, all of it, Father. It purge from our food, purge from our vaccines, purge from our medications. We thank you for the hedge of protection over RFK, the wisdom to serve, Lord, how to tread, Lord Jesus, and that he would have people alongside him to make things happen quickly, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Nobody would be poisoned, no accidents, Lord Jesus, no assassin bullet, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the whole Trump cabinet, the whole Trump family, his building, Lord, his golf courses, Lord Jesus, all that pertains to President Trump, Lord. We thank you, no terrorist attacks. Nothing, Lord Jesus. No harm to his children or grandchildren. We thank you, Lord Jesus. As you protect Trump, Jesus, the head, Lord, flows down and the blessings flow down to his cabinet, to his family, and all that he influences, oh Lord. We thank you, Father, for the entire team, Elon Musk, Lord, and all other power players. They're behind the scenes on the front lines, Lord. They're risking life. We thank you for your protection. People like Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, people with wisdom and have had such persecution. I thank you for the reversal, the boomerang of justice against their enemies, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we will see the glory of the Lord coming down upon the city of D.C. and upon the whole nation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people. And we pray that J.D. Vance would get out of the Catholic Church, that he would see it truly as it is, and come back into the living gospel of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bring him out of the Catholic Church and back into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Out of the idolatry, out of the worship of Mary, all these things. And all the Jesuits, Lord. Purge all Jesuits. They're blocking, hindering in the name of Jesus. They're hiding evidence. We thank you, Lord Jesus. All will be uncovered. All of it, Lord Jesus. All will be uncovered. You, O Lord Jesus, set a hedge of protection around them, giving them the wisdom, the servant, the knowledge, the unity, Father, that they need. That they need, Lord Jesus, to overcome the cabal. We thank you, Lord Jesus, every one of them, every family member, Father, the home security, Lord, the borders, Jesus, the financial sector, in trade. Every one of them, Lord Jesus, will be in unity. Thank you, Father. Your will be done. All that you desire, that there will be a purge, arrest, Lord. The DOJ, Lord, will follow through. The FBI will follow through. Everything uncovered, Lord. All the grotesque, Father, negligence, all the corruption, uncovered, Lord Jesus, and the American people to awaken and pray for this administration, to pray, Father, for it revival and awakening, Lord, a revival and awakening this administration, that the presence of God will fill the meetings, bring Tulsi back into your fold, Bring Tulsi back into your fold, my Lord. Bring her back, Lord Jesus, to her roots. Bring her back, Lord Jesus. Bring salvations after salvations of his cabinet members, Lord, that they will be saved. A government, Lord, born again believers. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, in every sector, small business sector. We thank you, Father, transportation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, the wisdom, the beauty, and the discernment of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that everyone, Lord Jesus, will fulfill what you have called them to fulfill. Patel, Dan Bonaccino, every one of them, Lord Jesus, will not be turned. They will not get distracted, Lord, but they will uncover and continue to uncover a treasure trove, Lord, of information, pinning down the elite's activities, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we thank you that the American people will back them, back their policies, will back, Lord, decisions. American people are fed up with the corruption. They're fed up in the name of Jesus, that they will back this administration in prayer. They'll back this in their words. They'll back this, Lord Jesus, in their social, in their accounts, and in their influence. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Change their hearts. Areas that they need to change in, I pray they will change. The areas that they haven't been supportive, I pray they will change and come under the head. Come in alignment and agreement, Lord Jesus. They will streamline the work that needs to be done. It's like the work never is ending. Lord, it even gets greater as they have to dig deeper. They need to contact different people. I pray that it gets done miracle after miracle every day, Lord. Every day, let them see a miracle. Let them see a miracle. What was impossible is now possible. That they have their, you see the hand of God moving upon their lives and in their work. Father, that they are a force. A great force of your joy, of your righteousness. They will see this day, the cabal given their just due measure, Lord Jesus. Their stranglehold of our nation, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for restoring it all. Restore it all. Restore it all. Restoring our nation's economy. Restoring our nation's currency. Restoring our nation's assets, back currency, and all these things. You are Lord of Lords, and you are King of Kings. And there is none like you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and honor in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Beth. This is Ricky, and I will be praying over justice. Join with me as we pray for the hammer of justice to come, pray for exposure of corruption, pray for Congress, pray for the removal of corrupt congressmen, pray for righteous replacements, and pray that they'll be ready to take their place. And we're also going to pray about the judges, corrupt judges. So thank you. Father God, I lift up our justice system. Lord, you said the hammer of justice is here. You said that 2025 would be the year of justice. And Father God, we have seen justice begin in our nation. We have seen the hammer of justice falling day after day, week after week. It is indeed falling because it is your timing, oh God. It is your timing to bring exposure and bring this corrupt system down. And Lord God, I lift up from the top down, I lift up, Lord God, our Congress. I lift up, Lord God, even people within the Department of Justice and the Deep State, the State Department, those people that are still in place that should be removed. Father God, I pray that you would pull back the veil and shine your light on these people that continue to work against this administration. I pray, Father God, that you would expose them, that they might be uprooted from their post. Whether they're working in the mailroom, or whether they're working in Congress, or they have positions of influence and power in our State Department or Department of Justice, I pray, Father God, that you would unseat them. The Lord God, this is a new day for a new way to see these people that would seek to bring America down, uprooted. I pray, Father God, that there would be not one person left by the end of this year who has in their sights to bring America down, who has in their sights to work against this administration. You have created President Trump for this hour. You created him. You formed him in his mother's womb so that he would traverse through his life. And throughout that path, you have deposited within him everything he needed to release your plans and purposes over our land. even the last 4 years, as difficult as they were, Lord God. You allowed this to take place because there were more things that needed to be brought into the light, because the hammer of justice is here. You created him, Lord God, to uproot these people who would seek to bring America down. The Lord God, let not one stone be left unturned. Not one person be left with access to our capital. At the end of this year, not one. Yes, Lord. Every one of them. Father God, let the hammer of justice fall upon D.C. Let the hammer of justice fall upon D.C. Because it's time. Every person. Well, there's only a couple. Switchboard operators. That let those precious children who called the hotline they were given when they were brought across this border and put into sponsor homes. 65,000 calls went unanswered and unresponded to. Let those people be brought to justice for what the children were faced as a result of that. When we talk about the injustice in our nation, it is deep, it is thick, it must be brought down. I lift up these corrupt judges that would stand with the enemy of our land. Rather than the leader of our country. And I ask, Lord God, that you expose every one of them. Everyone who is appointed by Obama, everyone that was appointed by Biden, everyone that is in a position of power and influence in stopping the work that you have ordained President Trump to do in this hour to clear this nation up. Everyone that was appointed by a corrupt politician. In whatever state it is, I ask that you shine your light upon them. And Lord God, that you would bring the hammer of justice down upon them and remove them from the bench. Because it is time. It is time. The hammer of justice is here. It is time to clean house. And strip them of their power and their influence to bring America down. Hirababakira I pray, Father God, those that are sitting in positions of influence within the states, those Secretary of States, those AGs sitting and holding power, wielding power in states that are not adhering to the Constitution, they are all sworn to uphold the Constitution. Every one of them, Lord God, that is not doing their job, shine your light. When they are doing the bidding of the enemy of our nation, shine your light upon them and let the hammer of justice come down on them. Remove them, O God, and prepare people. Every seat that needs to be filled or refilled, O God, prepare people. Lord God, and I ask retroactively that you will have begun preparing people to take their place. And when the time is right, you will remove them and put those new people in their place. The Lord God, we will not be left with gaps. And I ask, Lord God, that you spread this, Lord, across the church. We have just seen allegiances far left allegiances in the pulpits in greater measure than ever before. And it's time to bring those systems down. Those that fight for social justice, those that fight for abortion, those that resist pro-life legislation, those that resist protecting our children from corruption and social justice ideology like the LGBTQ plus movement. Lord God, expose them and bring them down too. It's time to clean up the church. It's time to clean up the nation because you, oh God, are paving the way. It's a new day for a new way. 2025 is the year of justice. And oh, Father God, as we prepare for an expansion of the awakening and we prepare for the influx of salvations that are occurring as a result of these revivals that are sweeping the land, Lord God, we need our nation cleaned up. We need our church cleaned up. We need to be ready to be a nation of righteousness, that we would fulfill our destiny, our duties, our responsibility as a nation, one nation under God, capital G, united with one purpose, really, to spread the gospel unto all the earth. Clean it up, oh God. Clean it up. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ricky. This is Lynn, and I'll be praying over the elections, praying for truth about past elections to continue to come out. And we need a massive revamping for future elections, and praying for the loyalists to arise to take their place, and praying for them to come forward to retain and maintain God's plans and purposes in the nation. O Rebaka Shanda Yerebe Kia Sanda Yerebe Ki. O Rebaka Tayende Kisete Kia Tarava Sandai. O Rebaka Tayerebe Ki Sata Kayende Kisete Kiatai. Father, we thank you that you hear us when we pray and you answer. We lift up the elections before you in the throne of grace. Father, we thank you that you are a God of justice and justice is here. That you're clearing the way for honest elections. Ora bashanda yerebe kia dayer horo bokoto yerebeke. And according to Psalm 119:142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Let truth of the 2016 and the 2020 elections be revealed. Let it be exposed before the world. Bring forth massive exposure on this, Lord. Rababa yeshende ke te ramakai, erende ke sende kadaya ramaso, okoreba ke sende. We speak into the corruption of the 2016 elections with the Russian collusion, and let all those who have committed treason, let them be brought to justice. Let them be tried under a military tribunal for treason. And the 2020 coup, Lord, exposed. Let it be exposed. Let there not be one, not one, who is guilty of treason get away. Randa da da yestanda yerere boko, o rama kata yerere kasanda yerere bekia, o romo koto yerere beki sanda. Let justice prevail over both of these scandals. Rama kashanda yerere bekia, rande kesende kia dararaba sanda, o rama kata yerere kese kia dararaba sanda, araba sanda. Father, I thank you. Rama sanda yerere besende, and when it all unveils, rababa yasanda, and the people know the truth, I thank you for the justices or the judges in Ricky's dreams that came forth and apologized to Trump, and they gave him a third term. Ora baba yasanda, we say let it be so. Ronde shende kiterere bekia tai. O rondo koto yerere bekia darabasanda. Arabasanda, Lord, you're the Lord of the breakthrough. We thank you that you are breaking through and giving us a victory. Orabasanda yerere besende. Let these indictments and arrests begin now. Rama mama yesende kerere bekia darabasanda yerere besende yatararamastaya. O rama koto yerere beki. Arama katayere de meki, arama kasayere de besende, asanda yere de basanda yere de basanda yere de basanda. Lord, we ask you to expose it all and bring forth a major revamping of our elections. Rabababa yeshanda yere de meki, rondo dodo yeshanda yere de mosa. Expose every place where there is corruption using illegal immigrants on our voter rolls. Clean it up, Lord, and bring these plans down. Rabababa yesanda yerere basanda, that the elite would have. Da-da-da-da basanda yerere bekia sanda, to corrupt our elections. Rabababa yesanda yerere basanda yerere besende. Let there be a massive push to clean up our voter rolls. Rabababa yendere bosanda yerere bosondo yerere basanda yerere basa. O Romo Kuyerebekia Sanda Yerebasanda. Let there be a greater momentum to remove the illegal immigrants in our country. Ronda Sanda Yerebe Sende Yatarabasanda. O Radabasanda. Father, we thank you that the census would be redone. Randa Dada Yasanda and the states redistrict. Aradabasanda without illegals accounted in our census of 2020. Bring exposure to this, Father, and eliminate the corruption. Lord, intervene and stop the ability of any illegal immigrants to vote in any state. Bring exposure to it all. And bring them to justice. Remove the legislators in each state that are corrupt. Expose them and bring them down. Lord, we ask for your intervention before the 2026 elections, that there would be a total revamping of our election process. Either be done by executive order or by Congress. But let a new way of registering voters come forth. Based on voter ID and proof of citizenship. Eliminate computers, Lord, and bring forth same-day voting. Let ballots be hand-counted and eliminate universal mail-in voting. We call for election integrity. Father, we call for the loyalists to arise and take their place in government to replace all the empty seats. You know who they are, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you begin to awaken them and call them, that they would feel the call to take their place in government. Men and women that cannot be bought, men and women that will be bold and of good courage, men and women that love this nation. We say, take your place, loyalists. We call you forth. We say, come forth and take your place. Romomo Yeshanda Yerebeki, Aranda Dadayanda Rabastanda, Aranabastanda Yerebeki, and Arabastanda Yerebeki, and Arabastanda, Aranabastanda Yerebestende. Father, we thank you that as you go through Congress and you remove all of those that have committed treason, I thank you, Father, that you have those in the waiting room to take their place. And I thank you, Father, that they will rise up at the appropriate hour. Lord, let your purposes and the plans for your nation prevail. Father, we thank you. We command victory over our elections. We thank you for clean, honest elections. Orababa Yeshanda Yerebekia, Asanda Yerebekia Sunday, that we could return the trust to the American people. Rababa Mayasanda, that they know when they vote for somebody that their vote counts. We thank you, Father, that your will be done and your kingdom come. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, team, for your prayers tonight. And Ricky, thank you for sharing that awesome teaching about Israel and for taking all of that time that you take and put aside to do an excellent job. And thank you, intercessors, for being with us again for another victorious night. Lord, I just lift up these intercessors to you, and I ask that you would bless them tremendously along with their families. I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that you fulfill their heart's desires as they find their delight in you, Lord. Brashiti karnapaka sukurepatika sakata pozotoko. Abrashaka. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. That as the intercessors speak your word, power is released, Lord, into their lives. Your power is released into their families. Your word says, Lord, that our stomach will eat of the fruit of our mouth. Abramate kasuta kada. We thank you for this group of warriors, Lord, that you've raised up, intercessors. Sharimaningase kutuka rabakata kaka. Thank you for the resilience that you've put in them, Lord, and the desire to please you. Pate kure bakasaka. Bless their families in Jesus' name. Bande kura bakate kasukata. Say, prodigals, come home. Receive the touch of the Lord. Hearts be melted in his presence. Thank you, God. And I bind every spirit of retaliation in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join with us next Thursday and Friday at 4:20 for more prayer on those issues the Lord directs us to pray over. We will have our interactive prayer call this Sunday in three languages. The numbers and times are on the emails Ricky sends out on the World for Jesus website. If you're not already part of Joel's Army, please contact Karen at the office to find out more about how you can get involved with this important arm of the ministry that Nita saw and a vision as shields all over the nation. Also, if you don't receive our weekly newsletter and regular notifications from World for Jesus Office of Services, you can email the office and we'll get you on the mailing list. And that's only for our newsletter and to keep you informed, and that's not given to anyone else. I'd like to give the opportunity for those that would like to give to the ministry tonight. We greatly appreciate you all and thank you for your support. You can go to worldforjesus.org, click on the green donate button at the top of the page, and that will take you to a certain area or the general fund. We declare the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the I Am, over all of our prayers tonight. Please remember to keep Nita, Ricky, and the team lifted up in prayer daily in your personal prayer time for strength, healing, regeneration, and that the Lord would give grace to finish the race. And for Nita, this is really an intensive trial, so please pray for strength and healing in this challenging time and stand with us for all of God's goodwill to be accomplished in her and through her. Thank you. And now Chandra will sound the victory shofar and will declare the Aaronic blessing over you and take you off mute to say goodnight.
Okay, if you would please extend your right hand to receive the blessing.
Yeverechecha Adonai veyishmerecha Yaher Adonai Ponavalecha vechunecha Esau Adonai Panav Lecha Veyasem Leicha Shalom
Bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, we bless you. B'shem Yeshua, Amen.
Love you all. Thanks for praying with us. Bless you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Good night, everyone.
I love you. Good night.
Good night.
Shalom.